worship a Bible doctrine? Worship may be defined as the conscious seeking, discovery, and ascribing of worth to God, or in fact to any creature. Even perfect beings, such as angels and our first parents, worship God. The basis of worship is appreciation. We see in the object of our adoration many worthwhile qualities. We ponder them, we praise them, we pray to them, we ascribe honor to them, and this act of appreciative response is worship. Worship at the dawn of history. The first opportunity to worship came on the Sabbath day. All the sons of God, including Adam and Eve, were singing and shouting for joy. Jehovah had just completed the work of making perfect beings on a perfect world. And so, with a sense of fulfillment flooding his heart, God rested on the Sabbath day with Adam and Eve. The Sabbath then is set forth at the very dawn of the story of man as an oasis in time during which the creature must worship his Creator. He must remember the Sabbath. The Sabbath has been etymologically defined as the mark of the revered father. It is at this mark or sign or seal that man remembers and adores the one who made him. So God sets out a specific time for worship. Second point of our lesson discusses the place. An altar was to be raised at which all the worshippers, as the margin indicates, at the end of the days, that is on the seventh day, which is the end of the week, were to bring their offerings unto the Lord. The offerings were of two kinds, the vegetable or non-bloody and the animal or bloody. Cain brought the non-bloody. Moses tells us that Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock. He brought both. And God accepted Abel and rejected Cain. The lesson that emerges from this is that in order to worship God, we must carry out his requirements precisely. Cain independently disregarded part of God's express command, and his worship was faulty. And God could not accept him. And faulty worship led Cain along certain predictable steps. He grew angry with his brother, whom he slew. He grew angry with God, whom he rejected and from whose presence he walked. And he lived the rest of the days exhibiting hostility, his hand against every man, every man's hand against him. So worship in obedience precisely leads to a life that exhibits the qualities discerned and praised in the Creator. Point number three, public worship. Men, as they multiplied, began to call themselves by the names of Yahweh. This is the margin. They were the first witnesses to Jehovah and his love and his creatorship. If you take the reading of the text, they were first called by the name of Jehovah. Centuries later, the Christians who called upon Christ continually were first called Christians in Antioch. It's a calling upon the name of the Lord in adoration, in praise, in ascription of honor, and in devotional intercession. Point number four. After the flood, Noah built an altar. Before the flood, our first parents had built an altar, and Cain and Abel had worshipped there. After the flood, Noah built an altar and set up a system of worship. The same thing occurred when God called Israel out of Egypt. The supply of sacrificial animals was very small. To slay any was to reduce the personal possession. And yet God required the altar builder after the flood, as he required of the altar builders after the Exodus, a returning to him of part of the offerings he gave. This would indicate trust and dedication and stewardship. Centuries later, Abraham built an altar wherever he pitched his tent. And thereafter, the wandering Bedouin, seeing that altar of stones, would remember that there had passed by the pilgrim Abraham. And those who had heard him witness to his God would there bow in adoration. The altar of Abraham, as the previous altars, not only indicated public worship, but also the erection of the family altar. Wherever Abraham stopped, there at the cool of the day, the evening sacrifice ascended as the darkness enveloped. And songs of praise not only ushered out the passing day, but welcomed the coming night. Pilgrimage, committal, worship, dedication. These concepts are brought by the consistency of Abraham, the father of the faithful. The sixth section of our lesson deals with Jacob. Now, Jacob was a mixed-up man. The earlier years of his life, he was at home, the favorite of his mother. When he was 77 years of age, he fled from his brother, his twin brother's anger, having, by some devious method, obtained both the birthright and the blessing. On his way north, he paused for the night at Bethel, and there God gave him a vision of a ladder that Jesus Christ explained in the last verses of John chapter 1 to be a symbol of himself, the Son of Man, the connecting link between heaven and earth. And angels of God were seen ascending and descending upon this mystic altar. Jacob understood that heaven was connected with earth, that the place of the angels was on this earth, and that they ascended to gain directive and inspiration, and then descended. In awakening, he sensed the sacredness of that place and called it thereafter the House of God, Bethel, and there erected an altar pillar that would remind him and his relatives in every age what there had transpired. Centuries later, Samuel built a school of the prophets at Bethel. This spot was historically chosen to be one of important associations. It was at this altar pillar that Jacob covenanted to serve God. He pledged himself to return to God his tithes and his offerings as the Lord should bless him. God, he realized, would do his part, and for his, Jacob promised to carry out his own as faithfully as he could. Now, as we think of these six sections of this lesson, We see that God has given us a time for special worship every Sabbath. And then incidental times, as Abraham indicated, morning and evening family worship. Then on special occasions, when God's providence is manifest, as in the case of the rescue by the ark and the deliverance God there provided, this was a special occasion of worship. There are places for worship at which an altar is erected. And for the Christian, the altar, of course, is the cross of Jesus Christ. So there is a time, weekly, morning and evening, and special occasions. Then there is a place, the family altar set up by Abraham, where his own little community could worship. As we shall see later, God specified a place of national worship. But that didn't do away with the fact that at each home, by each tent, there ought to be the family altar. In the story of Jacob, the great lesson is learned that even though we are liars and tricksters and deceivers, running from relatives who are bent on destroying us, that God never leaves us. He lets down his ladder, and up its rungs we can take step by step, that by its side are angels from heaven, ready to support and comfort, and that God in Jesus Christ never leaves us nor forsakes us. We also should bear in mind the terrible dangers of worshiping in the wrong way. Many times we are asked, what difference does it make? Well, what difference did it make to Cain? His initial decision not to do what God had told him to do. His decision to refuse to carry out the divine directive led on to rejection of his brother, the slaying of his brother, and finally the rejection of God. So this lesson, worship at the dawn of history, brings before our minds some of the clearest principles underlying true worship. The need to worship him after the due order God ever kept before his followers. A time, a place, a method, an occasion, whether of divine providing or when man is flying from his fellow men, a sinner, God rewards worship. Heaven connects the worshiper. Angels of God succor and support. This attitude and carrying out of true worship is an extremely beneficial activity for mankind.